Today's episode is sponsored by Morgan Stanley. By 2050, there may be 1 billion electric vehicles on the road worldwide, bringing opportunities and challenges to automakers and the supply chain. Under that scenario, as much as 90% of all new vehicle sales would be electric. The effects of this shift will be dramatic for automakers, but they will be far from the only industry disrupted. Read more at morganstanley.com/electric. Morgan Stanley & Co., LLC, member SIPC.
Opening bell in about 20 seconds. Let me just set the stage for you.
Money, money, I want more money.
You cannot have it all.
This whole system is too confusing.
Hi, I'm Ben White, and this is Politico Money.
Trump's supposed to be
making America great again, right? Why isn't he creating more jobs here today instead of taking jobs away?
Corey Southard is an assistant roller at NLMK Steel in Farrell, Pennsylvania. And sitting right beside him is Ryan Miller, a speed operator.
Babysitter.
They sit in what's called a pulpit, looking down on an amazing scene. And their colleague, Ryan Smith, sits in another pulpit in the mill.
You're in the pulpit, so you're kind of like the preacher of this place.
Yeah, I'm the beginning of the process, yep.
Tons, literally tons, of bright, glowing orange steel rolls by on a giant conveyor belt of huge metal rollers to get flattened to exactly the thickness to the millimeter specified by the buyer. Smith sits in his pulpit, watching computer screens filled with numbers.
Our screen right here that you're looking at, that'll give you the width, the gauge of what we're making, and the temperatures of what they should make. You know what I'm saying? We have a difference what the customer wants, a 50 or 100 degree difference, so that'll give us an outlook on what we're rolling, right, as we're running it through the machine here.
These guys in the pulpit are in a totally different industry, but they remind me a lot of Wall Street traders because they sit at their desks 8 hours a day, they don't get up and leave, they eat lunch at their desks, and they're staring at screens all day. Of course, they're also staring at molten hot steel, but they're looking at numbers, making sure they're exactly precise, and then they make calls based on those numbers, just like traders on Wall Street. They may look as different as you could get from Wall Street, but their day-to-day lives are actually not that different. It struck me the similarities, even though you wouldn't necessarily think about Wall Street and the steel processing plant the same way.
Except you guys actually make stuff and they don't. So there's a little bit of a difference.
We put the rubber on the road, so to speak.
Chuck Dinger is a general manager at NLMK, and he's giving me a tour of this hot mill.
And this facility's just been good to a lot of people for a long time, and we want to see that maintained going forward.
A lot of pride and then a lot of anxiety at times like this.
Absolutely, a lot of anxiety.
On May 31st this year, Trump signed two new presidential proclamations imposing steel and aluminum tariffs under Section 232 of the Trade Expansion Act of 1962.
These guys, they would like nothing more than to hear that this 232 issue is resolved in our favor because it's a big concern.
So Trump campaigned in Pennsylvania and elsewhere in the so-called Rust Belt on the idea that he was going to bring back industries that had been hollowed out, and he was going to restore towns that had been devastated by the decline in the steel industry, and that these tariffs were exactly the way to do it.
Me personally, I'm almost at the end of my line, so you know, hopefully I can make it here another, you know, 7, 8, 10 years, you know, and for the young guys, hopefully it lasts for them too.
So these people that the tariffs were supposed to help are actually afraid of losing their jobs. Why? That's what I came here to find out.
And this can be edited.
Yeah.
So if I get a little emotional and I say some things out of frustration, you'll be able to help me out.
We will. Bob Miller has worked in the industry since 1996. His father was a steel worker. His business, NLMK Steel, is getting slammed with tariffs because they import their raw material, steel slabs.
What we do is we buy steel slabs on the open market. And we convert those slabs into finished hot rolled and cold rolled coiled sheet product.
See, a lot of the steel industry in the United States is businesses like Miller's.
We do not have steel making capacity here. What we do is we buy steel slabs on the open market.
They don't pour the steel. They buy the slabs from outside the country.
And based on the rules of the tariffs, we pay the tax on steel slabs. You know, that's unfair because it's picking a winner and a loser. And it's been proven over the years that we cannot buy slabs at the necessary quantities here in the United States. So the companies that actually make the steel slabs, those would be the integrated facilities. They make them to roll them themselves. They don't make them to sell them to their competitor.
Yeah. We've been talking to some folks at U.S. Steel about the tariffs, and they argue when you ask them, you know, what do you think about the fact that buyers of steel and aluminum have to pay higher prices now, and this is going to hurt them? They say, well, kind of tough luck. You know, they should buy American, and if they have to pay a little bit more for American, that's fine. They should. Maybe they don't make as big a profit, but that's okay. They should buy American anyway.
I think that's a little short-sighted. I think, you know, coming from a company that buys much of their raw material offshore and an industry where we talk about a global supply, if you're talking about people who do cheat the trade laws, you know, like the Chinese, I think keep it focused on that. If the Chinese aren't playing by the rules when it comes to dumping steel into this country, then focus specifically on that.
China. Steel workers, no matter if they think tariffs are good or bad, can all agree on China.
Back 5-10 years ago, China was dumping steel here and causing thousands of United States steel worker jobs and aluminum jobs to go down the drain, and plants closings and people's lives affected.
U.S. Steel executives declined requests for interviews, but we did catch up with more than a dozen U.S. steel workers arriving or heading home for the day or around town. None of them would give their last names because their work won't let them speak on the record. But we'll be bringing you some of what they said with just their first names.
Dan and I work in the shipping department at United States Steel Egger Thompson Works in Braddock.
Dan is getting off work about an hour and a half drive from NLMK at another mill, Edgar Thompson Works, part of U.S. Steel, right outside Pittsburgh in a town called Braddock. They actually make the steel slabs. U.S. Steel stands to grow from the tariffs. It was opened in 1872. When Trump says he's bringing steel back to the United States, this is who he's talking about. There's a giant statue of a man bending a steel bar with his bare hands right outside the gate. Dan's been a steel worker for 21 years.
You know, our country is too soft on foreign countries, and you know, foreign countries get away with a lot more, you know. So U.S. Steel's just trying to even out the playing field.
So here's the big picture. Trump thinks he's going to save the steel industry in the United States by slapping big tariffs on imported steel. And he's certainly going to help some people. Steel workers in Pennsylvania and Indiana and Illinois and elsewhere are all seeing steel prices go up. That means more money, more profits, more jobs. Trouble is, there are a lot more industries in the United States that use imported steel and aluminum than actually make them. So that means higher costs for them, probably fewer jobs, and higher prices for consumers. But he's not wrong about the overall picture, which is the fact that there is a lot of global steel being made in a bunch of different countries, and that hurts United States steelmakers.
There's a lot of steel in this world. Everybody makes steel. Brazil, Saudi Arabia, everybody. There's an excess amount of steel in this world. And China makes a lot more than everybody combined. You know what I mean?
Everybody agrees that China dumping steel in the U.S. is a big problem. But the solution that Trump's come up with is really hitting more people than he probably intended it to.
Well, I'm just a common guy, and I can only speak for my own little world. But
back at Edgar Thompson, Bob is getting off work.
I have no answers, and I don't think any of these politicians do either. They just want to keep getting reelected.
Bob has been working at Edgar Thompson for 45 years.
I've been in this mill for 45 years, but I've been doing this particular job 25. It's a very good job.
And these are very good jobs. An average steel worker can make as much as $80,000 a year. Dan has been at it for 21 years.
You know, my dad told me when I got out of high school, use your back or your brain when you get out of school. And I've been using my back for 21 years, so it's not a easy job, but at the same time, it's a good paying job and benefits are good too. So, you know, and you got to do your job because you got to put food on the table, and that's what I do. So
it's a job worth holding on to, and one that Trump promises to save. But get this.
I'm just skeptical about, you know, the whole thing.
Even the steelworkers at Edgar Thompson are really skeptical.
The tariffs are helping U.S. Steel for now. But Dave is worried about the long-term picture.
I just don't know if people are going to pay that price for that long of a time. I mean, the price of steel has doubled since he's done that. And I don't know if that's going to last. It just, I mean, since I've been there, it's never been nowhere near that price. But I don't think he cares about us. I don't think he cares about you either. You know? And I got to go. You know what I mean? I don't want to be late. Okay.
Mike, an electrician at the mill, is grabbing some coffee before he goes into work.
Just because everything I think he does is for a personal gain. I don't think he has Braddock in mind whenever he makes decisions.
And this is something we heard from workers in both mills. We'll be right back with more from Steel Country, but first, a quick break.
And now, a word from a sponsor. A message from Morgan Stanley. By 2050, there may be 1 billion electric vehicles on the road worldwide, or up to 90% of all new vehicle sales. This dramatic shift would bring opportunities and challenges to automakers and the supply chain. Already, automakers have pulled forward plans to aggressively introduce electric vehicles over the next 3 to 5 years, versus 20 to 25 years previously. While they currently control much of the value of the car by designing and producing major components, the shift will require greater supply content than ever before. Read more at morganstanley.com/electric. Morgan Stanley & Co., LLC, member SIPC.
Bob Miller, the CEO and president at NLMK, doesn't think the industry is coming back to where it was 50 years ago.
No. It's because of the change in the whole global market. There's been such an amount of foreign investment with various models and various needs based on a global situation. If he takes a very broad approach to it, then, you know, on one hand, you may help some companies. You may put them in a position to be able to grow and actually increase employment, but you're also going to affect the companies that have devised business plans that will ultimately affect jobs. So it's my opinion that ultimately you'll see potentially less workers as a result of a very robust and broad tariff program. And I'll just use, you know, this Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania location here. We're the largest taxpayer in the city of Farrell. The city of Farrell has been in, you know, Act 47, which is kind of a bankrupt state here in Pennsylvania, and their plans are to emerge at the end of this year. Well, if something would happen to the employment base, and they see roughly 25% of their tax base start to erode, well, what's that mean for this local community up here? It would be devastating to see an employer of our size exit or significantly reduce the amount of employees that we have. And, you know, this, we've been doing this for over, you know, almost 20 years now. So this is a business model that over two decades has worked. And we've seen our employment levels grow. We have really good relationships with our customers, and we have consistent month after month of orders from loyal customers. And, you know, that's why we're fighting this, because, you know, you can't put a policy in place that's going to affect us. Because, again, that's where government's going to pick a winner and a loser. And ultimately, I don't think that's what they want to do.
And I'm guessing you think they're going to be a lot more losers ultimately than winners. I mean, there are more companies and manufacturers that buy steel than that make it and sell it. How do you think the winners and losers shake out? Obviously, companies like yours lose, but look at manufacturers that use steel in the beverage industry or in the auto industry. There's a broad array of people that are opposed to these tariffs.
Yeah, and I think on the grand scheme, you're going to see more losers than winners.
I mean, do you think Trump kind of sold people a fantasy of a renaissance in steel? I mean, he won Pennsylvania in part because of these pledges to do tariffs. Not the only reason, obviously. I think there are plenty of people who just, you know, didn't like Hillary Clinton and didn't want to vote for her. It's not the only reason Trump won, but it was a sort of a nostalgia play, and he fooled people with it.
I don't think he fooled people. I believe that he did. He did make promises that he was going to help out the U.S. steel companies, and he got a lot of votes because of that. And I think he is following through on his promise, that he is trying to help the U.S. steel industry. But I think where it went astray is that that help should have been in a very specific approach to solving what's really the problem here in the U.S.
What do you think about when Trump goes after somebody like Harley Davidson, which basically said they'd move production from the U.S. to Europe because Europe put retaliatory tariffs on their bikes that they're shipping back into Europe and made the decision to, you know, build bikes in Europe to sell to Europe. And now Trump is all over them as, you know, capitulating. It doesn't seem real fair.
Doesn't seem fair at all. And ultimately, it's the effect that's not intended. Ultimately, you're going to see jobs leave. As much as you want jobs to come into this country, you know, business is business. Their responsibility is to maximize profitability for your investors or for your owners. And you have to make business decisions that could lead to that maximization that could ultimately affect the intended consequence here in the U.S. Companies moving out of the country, companies going downsizing, you know, laying workers off. I think we're scratching the surface on really starting to see that happen right now.
You think that's potentially going to get significantly worse?
Unless we solve this problem, is, you know, and I'm talking just, I'm leaving it to steel right now. Unless we solve this problem, yes, that is absolutely going to happen as we go through the market cycle and we go through the next downward turn in the U.S. steel market.
Yeah. And by solve this problem, you mean essentially remove these across-the-board tariffs on imported aluminum and steel.
Yeah, I think you have to put a little more significance on the exclusion process that was designed. I mean, doesn't it tell you something that, you know, there's, I think, over 20,000 exclusion filings? And, you know, they've responded to a few hundred, right? I mean, this started on March 23rd. And, you know, here we still sit, and I can tell you there's a significant part of this industry that requires steel slabs. And, you know, we're paying tariffs on it. And that is inhibiting our ability to compete. And I think that somehow we have to get some decisions made that, you know, is for the overall health of the industry. That's where it's disappointing that we can't get a decision.
Do you think that President Trump's approval ratings among Republicans are still super high? They might not be high overall, but they're high among Republicans. And that his base seems to be with him. And they seem to be with him on the tariffs for the most part. Do you think that will last if, as you suggest, these negative impacts really start rolling out to, you know, every little town in middle America, that long term, this is going to be bad politics for Trump, not good politics?
Long term, I believe it's bad politics. If you start affecting the everyday family, that's when it's going to start affecting votes. You know, at the end of the day, maybe it's about votes. But I think the longer this goes on and the more negative impacts you see on families, then that's where I think it's bad politics. And it could backfire. You know, here's what's sad, because you got, you know, everybody's dealing with things from a family standpoint, right? The workers are trying to make ends meet, trying to pay their bills, trying to save for college. And I know my workers here, you know, that what's going on here adds concern. You know, are we going to be able to stay in business? Is my job in jeopardy? And that concern adds stress. And that stress gets taken home. And that stress impacts families. And that's the sad thing about it. So, you know, in a grand scheme of things, whether you're talking about national security or you're talking about votes, it's a shame, because you're impacting people's lives and in a negative way. And that's where, you know, I think just from our standpoint, they got to find a resolution to this.
I mean, this is really Trump country we're in Western Pennsylvania. Do you get a sense at all from friends or from workers here that they're thinking differently about President Trump already because of this?
Yes. Yeah, I think a lot of, you know, and we're represented by the United Steelworkers. So, you know, there's a lot of votes that the president received from our workers because of the promises that he's made. You know, when I see the workers around, I get lots of concern from them. You know, lots of workers asking me, where do we stand? Are we going to be okay? And I think, yes, I think they are rethinking. Sometimes you look at it just through, you know, kind of a short vision. You look at your job, right? And, you know, at the end of the day, your job's more important to what's going on, you know, across the country. And I think that's how they're looking at it. And it's, I think they believe now it's unfair. So ultimately, that is affecting votes even as we speak.
So when President Trump says we need to protect the U.S. steel industry and we need to bring it back and bring back jobs and save U.S. Steel and other companies and get them to hire more workers, where is he getting it wrong?
He's getting it wrong because we're paying a tax, and it's quickly, you know, to date, it's becoming close to $100 million in tax that we have paid, just NLMK. And that's where he's getting it wrong. So where on one hand, you might think you're helping jobs and increasing jobs, but on the other hand, you're going to affect jobs here. And I think our 1,200 jobs here in Western Pennsylvania are just as important as jobs in Granite City or across this country.
And that's a wrap for this week's Politico Money. Thanks so much to all the folks in Pennsylvania who talked to us. Thanks to my producer, Jenny Ament. Our executive producer is Dave Shaw. If you're liking the show, please do subscribe on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. Rate us and write a written review, and we'll be back with you next week. I don't know if you guys are Star Wars fans, but it reminds me of Revenge of the Sith when Anakin is fighting Obi-Wan, and that, you know, the molten steel is everywhere and Anakin gets all melted. But maybe I'm just a geek. I guess that's a yes.
Yeah.
It's all right. I don't mind. With a fist full of steel. Yeah. And Mad Boy grips the microphone.